The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the program. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. My guest is someone who has written many books, many more than I have written. His name is Mark Shaw. Mark, I don't know where to begin with you. I want to talk to you about your new book, Collateral Damage, The Mysterious Disappearance of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen. But how do you sum yourself up if somebody says, hey, who are you? At this point, are you just an author of many books, or do you get into what you were doing before you were famous for writing?
Well, I'm the basic overachiever, Eric. Recently, my alma mater, Purdue University, where I spent 6 years trying to get a bachelor's degree, honored me by being the archival repository for my body of work. Almost my 30 books, my research books, my notes, my days on, network television, Good Morning America, and some of those shows, my former criminal defense days, legal analyst on the networks and all of that. And I thought they had the wrong guy because, I was just such a terrible student at Purdue, but I'm the ultimate overachiever. I think I'm a hard worker like you are. I've researched you a bit, and we're both curious people. I think if anybody was asked about me, that's probably one of the things that they would tell you, that I've always been a curious person and I've always represented the underdogs. I did that as a public defender and then as a criminal defense lawyer. And that really leads to this new book, Collateral Damage, because I'm now representing as the voice two women, two remarkable women, Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen, who both were denied justice when they died in the 1960s. So
I want to talk about that. This is so fascinating, and I will get into that in a minute. I just want to be clear. Purdue, what is Purdue? They're the
repository. The archives there is going to have all of my body of work. I've sent them about 12 or 13 boxes of everything I've kept over the years. And the honor is so special, Eric, because the only other two real strong archives that they have there are Neil Armstrong and Amelia Earhart.
And hey, so, what do they ever do? Come on.
Yeah. And so, compared to them, I'm nothing, but it's a real honor. And I'm proud of my career in a lot of different areas, but like you, it all comes from a curiosity, and that's what led to the new book.
And so you said it's the legal, they're the literary repository. Is that what you said?
Archives.
Archival repository.
Right. My papers will be there. Everything that I've accumulated.
I've thought of making Yale University, my alma mater, the archival suppository, but they always blanch when I say that. But I think they should be honored. Let's get to your book, because this is so fascinating. People who listen to this program know that recently, for the second time, I had Johnny Russo on talking about Marilyn Monroe and the mob and RFK and JFK. And he was raving and raving about you and your book. And then I realized we'd already booked you to be on this program. I didn't need Johnny Russo to do anything but encourage me to continue doing what we've been doing. When I saw your book, I got very excited about it. There are a lot of young people who've heard of Marilyn Monroe, but they don't know who Dorothy Kilgallen was. So tell my audience who she was.
Well, first, Gianni, what can I say about him? He really has filled in an awful lot of the blanks that we've had for years in his book, Hollywood Godfather. So bless him. And he's quoted in the book a number of times, not only about his initial knowing Marilyn Monroe, but also, about what happened when she died and also the JFK assassination and all of that. Dorothy Kilgallen, I wrote about first in the bestseller, The Reporter Who Knew Too Much. And then in the second one, denial of justice. She was an amazing woman, a college dropout, Eric, who rose to become what the New York Post called the most powerful female voice in America. Ernest Hemingway said she was the greatest female writer in the world. She worked for the New York Journal American. She wrote a Voice of Broadway column that talked about Broadway, but also had a criminal trial, accounts in there and all kinds of things that way. So she was well known for that. But many of the young people that you're talking about may know about her more from her television program, What's My Line? That was a quiz show that was on in the 50s and 40s, 50s and 60s on CBS every Sunday night at 10 o'clock. It was live. And Dorothy was the most famous person on there. She was a panelist. They tried to guess people's unusual occupations. And the reason I say young people, you're thinking, well, wait, they wouldn't have watched that back then. There's almost 2 million views of my interviews and presentations now up on YouTube. And many, all of them talk about Dorothy Kilgallen and What's My Line. And I'm told that the number of hits on the What's My Line programs, which are all available there, has increased enormously. And so Dorothy has become a star again. She also covered the Dr. Sam Shepard murder trial, which of course became The Fugitive, as you know, the television series and film, the Lindbergh baby kidnapping case, and she covered the Jack Ruby case. She and John F. Kennedy were very close friends. In fact, at one point, she took her son, Kerry, to the White House. He made a fuss over her. And so when JFK died, she said, "What I remember is a tall man stooping over a little boy, praising his letters from his third grade class." And that's what launched her investigation of the JFK assassination, which I believe is the most credible that was ever launched. Because for one thing, she was in Dallas. She went to the Jack Ruby trial. She sat in the first row and listened to that testimony, which I have put up on my website, the Jack Ruby trial transcripts. But also she interviewed Jack Ruby, and she was the only person to do so. And that led to the theory that I have in both The Reporter Who Knew Too Much and Denial of Justice, which is a different way to look at the JFK assassination. Why Bobby Kennedy wasn't killed instead of why JFK was. And that makes all the difference in the world, because as of the fall of 1963, you may remember that when Joe Kennedy wanted JFK to be president, he recruited some of the mobsters to come in and help Illinois and West Virginia. They did so. The deal was that the White House would leave them alone after they got in power. But Joe Kennedy, and I had a witness who was right there, when he ordered JFK to appoint Bobby Kennedy attorney general. We went over after those guys, predictably, because he hated them. And one of them was Carlos Marcello, the New Orleans Don, whose empire stretched to Dallas. And so, predictably, he deported Marcello. And then when Marcello go back in the country, as of November of 63, Marcello was charged with racketeering. He was going to be deported again. And a smart guy, he said to myself, "I've got to get rid of Bobby Kennedy." But he knew if he killed Bobby Kennedy, then Jack Kennedy would come after them with everything the government has. But if you kill Jack Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy would be powerless. And Eric, that's exactly what happened. And that's what Dorothy Kilgallen had figured out. And she was writing a book for Random House in November of 1965. And she was found shortly thereafter dead in her Manhattan apartment. Stage death scene, all kinds of questions about the death, but it was never investigated. And that's what I've tried to prove about Dorothy, that she was obviously murdered.
Let me interrupt for a moment, because frankly, it's what I do best. And let me just say that you've brought up a lot of things. I want to make sure my audience is tracking. Johnny Russo has, given us a tutelage in this narrative. Sure. But it seems to me that it's still at least controversial who killed JFK, who killed Marilyn Monroe. But you're flat out saying that it was the mob that killed JFK. Is that right or no?
It wasn't the mob. See, that's where we get into these things with these. I don't use the C word, conspiracy. There was a plot to kill JFK. That's perfectly clear in the Jack Ruby trial transcripts, for instance. It shows that that Oswald had stalked Ruby. He said, I'm going to be there when Ruby, when Oswald was going to be transferred, all of those kinds of things. So there was a plot to kill him. And the one who had, I look at motive as a criminal defense attorney.
Actually, forgive me for interrupting again, but I've got to do it at least twice per segment. It's just who I am, Mark. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, more with Mark Shaw. The book is Collateral Damage. Stick around.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Folks, I'm talking to Mark Shaw. The new book, Collateral Damage, The Mysterious Deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen. Mark, I want to be clear. You're saying that the mob did not kill JFK, but they were involved in the plot to kill JFK?
No, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not being clear. Carlos Marcello was the one who orchestrated the JFK assassination. He had the greatest motive to do so, to make Bobby Kennedy powerless. And that's exactly what happened. Bobby never went after those guys again as attorney general and finally went ahead and resigned. Now, Russo told you that he was actually in Marcello's restaurant in New Orleans when he brought a message from Frank Costello, the New York Don, with a message to some money, I believe, to Marcello, and came back and told Costello that it was on. And then, as Russo said, that's what happened. And JFK was assassinated. Well, just let me confirm that a little bit more for you. We don't know what Jack Ruby told Dorothy Kilgallen at the Ruby trial. But the very first place she went after that was New Orleans. And she had connected Marcello, Oswald, and Jack Ruby. And so she put herself in danger because she was going to write that book for Random House, exposing Marcello as orchestrating the JFK assassination and J. Edgar Hoover for covering it up. So I hope that's a little more clear.
Well, but how is Marcello not the mob? In other words, if we say
he is. But people generalize and say it was the mob. And I'm careful to say I don't know about the mob specifically. I just know about one mobster who had the greatest motive to have killed JFK.
Well, OK, I'll say a phrase that I hate. Same difference. In other words, it was a part of the mob. If you're talking about, one of the leading mobsters in America, I think most people would say that was the mob. Now, whether it was Costello or whoever, but so are we saying then that you know that it was Marcello who orchestrated? He was the principal architect of this.
Yes, and you can go even further with that. His empire, which was worth billions at the time, stretched over to Dallas. And two of his underlings there were very close friends of Jack Ruby. And in fact, one of them, I have to think his last name, but anyway, he was the very first visitor to Jack Ruby when Jack Ruby was arrested. I mean, there's all kinds of strings and streams of things that all lead back to Carlos Marcello, and that's what Dorothy had proven through her columns. See, I should say, she was the only one. You know, all the other authors through the years, Eric, they've written a book about the JFK assassination, but they weren't in Dallas. Dorothy Kilgallen was there. She wrote these columns, The Oswald File Must Not Close. She wrote about Jack Ruby after meeting him, and the fact that, she could see that he had been used to to kill Lee Harvey Oswald and all of that. All of that material is up on the Dorothy Kilgallen story.org. Her photographs, her columns, interviews with, one of them is with Joe Tannehill, who was Ruby's co-counsel, talking about her interview with Ruby and all of that. So I only use primary sources in my books. I'm a man of the truth like you are, so I don't speculate. And everything that I've been able to put together prior to this book leads to the new one, because let me explain how the new one came about. Most of everything I've done in my life has been asked backwards. I'm not a guy that stays within the rules very well. So here's where I had an advantage over everybody with regard to writing about Marilyn, because I wasn't going to do so. There have been 1,000 books about her. What the hell do I know that hasn't been written? But I had published The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, Denial of Justice, and The Poison Patriarch about Joe Kennedy in 1960 election and Marcello and all of that. And so everybody, all of my followers and readers of the books around the world said, well, is there a connection between Dorothy's death and Marilyn's? And I thought, no, there's not. I don't know anything about that. But being this curious person, I started in. And what I found were documents that had never been used before. This is Dorothy. This is a picture of Dorothy. I hope they can see it. Dorothy and Marilyn with Yves Montand on the set of a film called Let's Make Love. They knew each other. They were friends. She wrote about Marilyn in her New York Journal American column. In fact, there's one that's rather sad. After Marilyn was divorced a third time, she talked about, you know, Marilyn Monroe had all the toys that any candy or any toy store could ever have, but she could never find the right toy. You know, she had been divorced from DiMaggio and Arthur Miller and an early marriage and all of that. So that got me interested in Dorothy. And what I began to find were more columns she had written about Dorothy, especially before and after she died.
You mean about Marilyn?
About Marilyn, before right. and after she died. And I can give you a little example of some of the new things in the book in a minute in terms of Marilyn, because I think that's what people will want to know. What am I going to learn in this book that I don't know? And so it was interesting to me because Dorothy had really nailed the fact and started to ask questions about Marilyn's death just after she died. So just let me share a couple of things with you that way.
Well, before you do that, let me just be clear. So you're saying that Marcellus, who was the mob leader in Louisiana, in New Orleans, and going, he was the one that orchestrated the JFK assassination principally.
Absolutely.
And who do you conclude orchestrated killing Marilyn Monroe? Is it RFK, as our friend Johnny Russo says?
Yes, and if I can go forward just a little bit with a few things here.
No, absolutely. I just want to be clear so people are tracking.
You're right.
You say that it was RFK.
Let me tell you, if I may. I lay out matters in my books like a prosecutor would for a jury. And you, if I were to have an opening statement based on collateral damage, here's what I would have said. If Robert Kennedy had been prosecuted for Marilyn Monroe's death in 1962, based on compelling evidence at the time, RFK's abuse of power would have been neutralized and his enemies would not have killed the president in 1963, changing the course of history and preventing the murder of media icon Dorothy Kilgallen, whose investigation of JFK's death resulted in her murder in 1965, since there would have been no assassination to investigate.
Okay.
In other words, if they had prosecuted.
But you've just laid out something that's fascinating to me. I just want to make sure that, again, Everybody's tracking. So you're saying that Marcellus had JFK killed principally to neutralize RFK, because obviously
Absolutely.
We know that if Lyndon Johnson gets in, RFK is no longer going to be the attorney general.
Absolutely.
So,
and that's what happened.
And RFK, obviously, a year earlier, you say, had Marilyn Monroe killed. If he'd been investigated and neutralized through being prosecuted for that, there would have been no need for Marcellus to kill JFK. But the question I think many people would have is, do you think that RFK could have reasonably been tagged with that murder. In other words, when you're the brother of the president of the United States, when you're the attorney general participating in a murder, I think the bar becomes impossibly high, doesn't it? I mean, were there people other than Dorothy Kilgallen at the time who believed RFK was behind murdering Marilyn Monroe?
Boy, Eric, it's amazing. It was all over the place at the time. And I'll give you some examples of what happened there. But the first thing I needed to do was to say to myself, all right, did Marilyn Monroe commit suicide? Okay, because that's what they said, although they said probable suicide, which Dr. Cyril Weck, if you haven't had him on your program, he's the amazing forensic scientist and my expert with regard to this, said he's conducted 16,000 autopsies and he's never heard of the verdict probable suicide. I also have documents. Noguchi was the medical examiner. First, they said she overdosed. Then it was probable suicide. So the first challenge I had was showing that Marilyn Monroe did not commit suicide. And I have all kinds of documents, the autopsies, everything else in the book that people can take a look at. But basically, it pointed to the fact that her taking 50 pills in the short period of time she was supposed to do so, she would have died much earlier than she did. That was one thing that was in there. There was no glass in her bedroom, for instance, where she could have ingested the pills. And there's several of those kinds of reasons that popped up to me where I said, hey, something was wrong here. And then the very first detective who was on the scene, and you can see his interviews on YouTube, Detective Jack Clemens, swore that there was something wrong with the death scene, that the housekeeper wasn't acting like she should. She was doing washing at the washing machine in the middle of the night. So I felt very comfortable that I had proved that Marilyn Monroe was not a victim of a suicide or overdose, that she had been killed. Now you look at motive again. At that particular time, she and Bobby Kennedy had a torrid love affair. Now, let's
put a pin in it because we're going to a break here. Okay. Folks, I hope you're hooked. I certainly am. Mark Shaw is the author. Collateral Damage is the new book. Do not go away. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their healthcare, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true healthcare, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Folks, I'm talking to Mark Shaw, brand new book, Collateral Damage, about the mysterious deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen. We get into RFK, JFK, the mob. This is heavy stuff, Mark. Continue along. So you basically proved to yourself there is no way that Marilyn Monroe committed suicide or overdosed. Unfortunately, that kind of leaves murder. And so you're looking at motives. You said just when we went to the break, she and RFK were having a torrid love affair. Is there any other kind? A torrid love affair right around the time that she died. So continue.
Okay. Let me just go back quickly to how I did this ass backwards and why I had the advantage.
And by the way, it's pronounced bass ackwards.
I'll be careful with that.
Okay.
I investigated the JFK assassination first. That's 1963. Then I investigated Dorothy Kilgallen's death. That's 1965. You wouldn't normally do that. you would normally start with Marilyn Monroe's death in 1962. By the way, they died within 40 months of each other, if you think about that, at very early ages. Marilyn, 36, JFK, 46, I believe, and Marilyn and Dorothy Kilgallen, 52. And so I did that backwards. But once I got through the JFK assassination and the Kilgallen case, things opened up with regard to Marilyn's situation. Most people remember that Marilyn had an affair with JFK and her singing happy birthday to him and all of that. But actually, it was a very short love affair and it was broken off by Joe Kennedy. But who was there to pick up the stripes was Bobby Kennedy. He became enthralled with her. He visited her several times in Los Angeles when he was working on a movie with his book, The Enemy Within. I have all of that proof in the book with regard to this. So I got to thinking, who had the motive to have, you know, have gotten involved with, not only gotten involved with Marilyn, but then could have been involved in her death? What Johnny Russo may have told you was that Marilyn got herself in trouble. She had this love affair with him. It's proven for sure. This is a, probably can't read it, so I'll read it. But this is a letter from Gene Kennedy Smith to Marilyn Monroe. Understand that you and Bobby are the new item, exclamation mark. We all think you should come with him when he comes back east. Gene Kennedy Smith. That's one of the...
Who is Gene Kennedy Smith?
That's the president's sister. President Kennedy's sister is
now,
Gene
Now, why would President Kennedy's sister write to Marilyn Monroe in a sort of approving way when obviously she has a sister-in-law, Ethel Kennedy, married to RFK? I don't get that.
Well, we'll never know. She died, apparently, and I tried, you know, she died recently, and I tried to interview her, but she wouldn't come talk to me. You know, I think that it was a spur-of-the-moment thing. She knew about Bobby. She wanted him to be happy. I think she knew that, you know, there were all kinds of problems with Ethel. I mean, he was a philanderer just like JFK was. They were running around with all these different women and everything. So I think that she thought that, hey, or maybe he said something to her. You know, I found somebody. You know, one of the things that I'm going to bring up in a minute, Marilyn was not a dumb blonde. She was much smarter than people gave her credit for. For instance, she was an avid reader. For God's sake, she read Ulysses. I tried to read that book and couldn't.
When you say Ulysses, we're not talking about, you know, the wonderful poem by Homer. You're talking, unfortunately, about the pretentious modernist tome by James Joyce. The only book worse than Ulysses is Finnegan's Wake, which he has the honor also.
Yes, he typing, does.
Having
he does.
Typed. But right. You said she read Ulysses. Didn't she just feel a pressure to do that because she's hanging out with Arthur Miller? I'm not sure that anybody would really voluntarily
read
Ulysses.
But the proof about Marilyn really comes in a book that I'm going to promote. Of course, it's called Fragments. And it contains all of Marilyn's writings on back of receipt, book receipts of in hotels, on stationery there and everything. People will be amazed at what she wrote, the poems she wrote, all of that. I've included two or three of them in the book for people to look at. At one point, she was at an auction and she bought some manuscripts. I mean, Marilyn was much brighter than everybody thought she was. And you know, that was one of the things that Dorothy Kilgallen found out. That's one of the reasons I think they became friends and all of that. But she got herself in trouble when she felt like she was being used by Robert, just as she had been used by JFK. And Russo may have told you about a gathering up at the Cal Neva Club on the border of Tahoe and California, not too far from where I live. And they were going to use Marilyn, and they were going to take videos of her and everything. And she started screaming, I'm going to the press. I'm going to talk about my affairs with both Kennedys. I'm going to talk about you know, matters of national security and all of that. And all that is proven through a document that I found, an FBI or CIA document that was published in August 3rd, 1962. Now, think about that date, because that's the day before Marilyn died. OK, and in there it talks about exactly what was going on, that there was a wiretap between Dorothy Kilgallen and a friend of hers. And they learned certain things about this. And just to tell you, Kilgallen replied that she knew, Okay, let me get the right page here. Okay, this is, yeah, the right one now, is it?
You're really going to the actual documents. Usually guests on the show just blow smoke and we never check up on them.
Well, you won't find me doing that. Basically, it talks about the love affair and that, you know, that they had been carrying on. And it says that Bobby Kennedy had told Marilyn he was going to divorce his wife.
Now, hang on. This is we're getting into the very juicy stuff. Folks, I'm talking to Mark Shaw. The book is Collateral Damage. We'll be right back. Folks, talking to Mark Shaw. The book is Collateral Damage. Mark, we're getting into such important stuff, and people need to kind of have a baseline education so they can really appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah.
So if they listen to the Johnny Russo interview, they got most of it. But so basically, for some reason, Marilyn Monroe, foolishly, it seems, in retrospect, says openly that she is going to go to the press to talk about her adulterous affairs with both Kennedy brothers, and to talk about other things. It's a huge scandal. This happens on the border of Nevada and California in this resort spa. And then what? Who decides that we need to murder her? How does that happen?
Well, Gianni Russo may have told you that basically when he went back to New York City and told Frank Costello, who was a very dangerous New York City mobster, that she was threatening to go to the press, in Russo's words to me in the book, Marilyn was dead. And here's why. In that document I just talked about a minute ago, it talks about not only the love affair that they had, RFK and Marilyn, but subject reportedly called the attorney general and complained about the way she was being ignored by the president and his brother. Subject threatened to hold a press conference and would tell all. Subject made references to the bosses in Cuba and knew of the president's plan to kill Castro. Subject made reference to her diary of secrets and what the newspapers would do with such disclosure. So it wasn't only the love affairs with both Kennedys, which would have disrupted their political lives for sure, But apparently they may have tried to impress her with telling her about some of these, you know, national security secrets, which is very dangerous for them to have done. The memo also talks about the fact that JFK, Marilyn, and Dorothy, I connect them there because they all were consumed with UFOs. And recently I found a document dealing with the fact that, you know, and it's in this memo about that, that JFK was looking into more information about the UFOs and all of that kind of thing. So there was really a lot going on. But Marilyn, I quote her in the book as saying she was tired of being carried, you know, of being, you know, moved around like a piece of meat. She just felt like that they weren't giving her any respect and everything. So as we get to August of 1962, if you are Bobby Kennedy, what in the hell do you do? Well, the biggest problem I had, Eric, is he had an alibi. Now, he didn't have to have orchestrated her death by being in Los Angeles, but there was a big deal at the time meant about the fact that he was in the San Francisco area with, you know, friends and all of that, and he wasn't in Los Angeles. Well, I have crucified that alibi. And the reason I've been able to do it, you know, I could show you, you know, all of these books that I've used for this investigation. These books are all from the 1960s. I don't use books that are written after so long after something happened. This one book, The Strange Death of Marilyn Monroe, came out in 1964. And if you want to know how lethal it was, it talks about his JFK or RFK's affair with Marilyn, what a ruthless son of a you-know-what he was, how he treated her. What's that?
I think the term is son of a sea cook.
There you go. And all of that. And you know what happened? You know how lethal this book was? I have a memo from the FBI that both the FBI agents were told to buy the copies of the books, and the Kennedys did too, because they didn't want anybody to read it. And so as you get to August of 62, I prove that Robert Kennedy was in Los Angeles. I have a ledger from the 20th Century Fox studios that said he landed in a helicopter with Peter Lawford. I have the first hand account of a Beverly Hills policeman who stopped a car going 75 miles an hour on Wilshire Boulevard at midnight on the day that Marilyn died, stopped them, knew Peter Lawford, saw Bobby in the back seat, and saw Marilyn's psychiatrist alongside Peter Lawford. I have Daryl Gates, the police chief of Los Angeles, stating he knew Bobby was in Los Angeles. And I have documents in this book that show that Bobby Kennedy always stayed at the Beverly Hills Hotel and all of that right near where Marilyn died. So I've pieced all that together with the fact, with motive, and apparently from what I think it's Johnny Russo who said this, or another of my primary sources, that Peter Lawford and RFK went to Marilyn's house in the afternoon of August 4th, before she died that evening, and tried to persuade her that, you know, don't go to the media, leave this alone.
Did you say JFK or RFK?
RFK.
Okay,
RFK and Lawford
went with the Attorney General RFK to her house, finally to persuade her, one last attempt to persuade her not to go to the press.
Right.
And then what happened?
Well, I think what happened is that they just hoped that this would, that they weren't going, that she wasn't going to do this. But you can't take a chance on that. You know, this would have destroyed both of their JFK and RFK's lives. Ethel Kennedy, you know, what would have happened then? But Bobby, if he would have been prosecuted for this murder, would have been powerless, and the enemies wouldn't have to have come after his brother. But here's what I've pieced together. There's all this evidence in there, and then we can go through some of these things that people don't know about Marilyn. But I pieced it all together with this scenario. I found three clues within the autopsy, with some of the the accounts from that detective who was there and all of that. And I found three things that really made a difference to me. One was the barbiturates that were found in her blood system. Phenobarbital was there, and chloral hydrate. And those were the combinations that were in there. But that was unusual because they didn't find any remnants in her stomach of those barbiturates or anything. So they may have not gotten into her stomach, I thought. So if they didn't, then how were they given to her? Were they injected? Well, in the autopsy, Noguchi says there were no injection marks on her body. So that was the first thing that made me stop and think. And if you want me to, I'll get to the two other.
Yeah, hold
clues
on.
In just a
this
second.
Is the this is fascinating. I hope people are tracking, because this is extraordinary stuff. We'll be right back talking to Mark Shaw. The book is Collateral Damage.
What?
It's time for the homework assignment. Every day on this program, we're going to be giving out a homework assignment.
Oh,
I've been doing
homework.
It casually, but folks, it's going to be part of your grade. Mm. And I think it is incumbent on me to say clearly what the assignment is, since this goes into your final grade in the class. Okay, so today's homework assignment.
Yes.
First thing... This, by the way, this is for the month, SalemNow.com. Mm-hmm. If you go to SalemNow.com, there's a lot of stuff you can watch with your whole family. So visit SalemNow.com. But specifically, there's a film out. It's called The Streets Were My Father. It's the journey of three inner city Chicago men, a story of fatherlessness, gang life, prison life, and then the power of God to change lives, transform lives dramatically. It is hugely inspiring, but it also underscores the
like practically the most important issue there is. It's called fatherlessness. If you don't want crime in America, deal with fatherlessness because it's huge. So go to salemnow.com. It's called The Streets Were My Father. Okay, that's assignment number one. Assignment number, number two. Tell your friends, please, about MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. And using the code Eric. A lot of people, maybe they're watching Fox News or something else, and it gives you a code. And I'm thinking, do you really want to give that portion of the profit to Fox or to whomever?
Right.
Or do you want to give it to this show, which has been banished from YouTube and is being sued by, I can't even go into that publicly. So we do need your help.
Yeah.
Every time you use the code Eric at MyPillow.com or MyStore.com. Most of my books are at MyStore.com, and we'll have way more coming up soon. You're helping us defray those costs on this program, and we do need your help. So if you tell your friends to use the code Eric, we're grateful. And as part of that, Nutramedics is a new big sponsor on the program.
Right.
We've had Tim Eaton on now twice. Watch those videos. We posted them on Rumble, and if you get the if you get our email newsletters, you've seen them. They are heroes, honestly, because they're producing a spectacular product, and I'm learning a lot about different herbs and spices or whatever they call them.
Supplements.
Oh, yeah, supplements. Yeah. But not only that, they give 50% of their royalties to missions.
Right.
And to, you can listen to the,
that's
to
amazing,
the thing.
Yeah.
But if you use the code Eric there, you get 20% off. And most of us use all these things, whether it's, you know, magnesium or zinc or vitamin C or vitamin D, whatever, all the basics, stevia, melatonin, and on and on and on and on. They have more exotic stuff. But I just want to say that every time you use the code Eric, you save 20%, and it helps defray costs on this program. And we need your help. So that's a homework assignment. And then finally. Okay, CSI.
Yes.
We are freeing slaves in the Sudan. Folks, am I making this up? No. People in this is like the wake up call for us in the West. We complain about, you know, getting banned from YouTube. There are people enslaved for their faith in Sudan. And I just want to say that we can do something about it. We did something about it. It was a year ago or 8 months ago. We did a huge number of was it Chris? That's right.
Yeah.
And we freed like thousands of slaves. And this is an amazing thing. I can't even believe I'm saying this.
Yeah.
But that's what CSI does. You can participate. Whatever you give goes to this. But anybody who gives $250, that frees a slave. And they don't buy them out of slavery. It's more complicated. I won't go into it now. But it frees a slave and then sets them up in a new life. Now, again, it's incomprehensible to us. We're talking about people enslaved. Yeah. So CSI, they're boots on the ground. They're helping.
Yes.
It's kind of astonishing to me that they do this. So
The banner is right at the top of the
Metaxastalk.com. 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 Have I mentioned our radio website is MetaxasTalk.com.
There you go.
Have I mentioned that?
And you can call. You can call 888-253-3522.
Say it again.
888-253-3522. Please give generously. This is an incredible. People talk about slavery 150 years ago. This is happening today.
I mean,
and you can free a slave.
And the fact
today.
Is, because of CSI, you can do something about it. God bless you. Thank you.